Let's open our Bibles to Romans. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read one verse there, and then we'll go to Romans chapter 10 and look at a few verses there in Romans chapter 10. Before I get into the message, let's have a word of prayer together one more time before we hear God's word. Father, I thank you for allowing me to be here today to share your word. I thank you for giving me a word to share. And Lord, I pray that you will help me to communicate this word, your word, to your people in such a way that everyone can understand what I'm trying to say, the point that you're trying to make in our hearts and lives. Lord, so often we come to church and we get so distracted by maybe something or someone in the service, or maybe something that we look forward to after church or whatever, Lord. Sometimes they're just things that distract us. And I pray there will be no distractions this morning. I pray that everyone's heart and mind will be fixed on you and on your word, that you will give each of us minds to understand and hearts to receive the engrafted word of God today. And Lord, I pray that this word will be powerful. Lord, that it will be a blessing to everyone here and to those that are watching and that will watch in the future. Father, I pray that you will increase our audience here in-house and increase our virtual audience each week. I thank you for any visitors that we may have today and for the many that you've been sending our way. We're so thankful. And I pray that they will feel comfortable, that they will be feel like they are welcome here, as Joe mentioned earlier. And God, I just pray, Lord, just minister to people today. Minister, Father, by the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. So now, Lord, I ask you to bless the reading and the proclamation of your word. Help me as your servant, as your minister, to proclaim what you've impressed on my heart. And I thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've emphasized the importance of evangelism, reaching out to unsaved people over the past few Sundays. Well, today I want us to continue the theme by focusing on Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and then we will go to Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. And this is all to help us understand how imperative it is to share the gospel when witnessing to a lost person. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. You would be shocked to know how many professing Christian people in the church today believe in their minds that as long as they invite someone to church, they are witnessing for Jesus. Now, inviting someone to church is important, and that's something we should do. But that is not witnessing for Jesus. There's much more involved in witnessing for Jesus. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, he told them, he said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, to be a witness means that you testify of something. And in this particular case, we're referring to how, as witnesses of Jesus Christ, we testify of who he is and what he has done in our lives. If you have had an encounter with Jesus, if you have a relationship with him, then you have been born again. You have an experience in your life that you can testify to that Jesus Christ is real. And so that's what witnessing is all about. It is testifying of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done in our individual lives, what he has done for all of humanity. And so today, as we think about this whole idea of witnessing, I want to be very specific today and share with you the essentials of witnessing. And I want to share two things with you this morning, two things that are absolutely essential in order for us to give a witness of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. Number one is found in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and here it is. Listen carefully. This is so simple, but yet it is so important. The gospel message is essential for witnessing. The gospel message is essential for witnessing. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed." Now listen to what Paul is saying here. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," referring back to the gospel, "for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, here Paul states that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes or that believes. Now, it's interesting that this word, what's the word power here? That is an important word in this text, I think. It comes from the Greek word dunamis. And dunamis is a root of the English word dynamite. Not only that, but the word means power. It is also the root of the two English words dynamic and dynamo. And we know what those words mean. And so what Paul is expressing here is how powerful the gospel is in reaching a lost world for Jesus Christ. It is a powerful tool in the hands of anyone that will share the gospel, that will witness to Jesus Christ. It is a powerful tool in the hands of Almighty God. It is the gospel is the infinite resource of God that is applied to the salvation of a soul. And so the gospel message, which is nothing other than what we call the good news or the good message, is essential in witnessing. One does not witness, truly witness for Jesus, apart from sharing the gospel, the good news. Now, think about this. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, provides the information necessary for one to decide for Christ. The gospel presents the only way to be forgiven of sin and to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so it includes a couple of things that sometimes we don't mention or don't think about a lot, but there are two different aspects of the gospel. There's a negative and a positive. In order to share the good news of gospel, you've got to first share the bad news. And the bad news is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. The bad news is that all those who have come short of the glory of God are under the sentence of eternal death and separation from God. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 3, that those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're already under the umbrella, so to speak, of God's condemnation. They are condemned already in their sin, Jesus said in John chapter 3. And so that's the negative aspect of the gospel. Separated from God, condemned to eternal death, apart from experiencing the new birth experience that Jesus talked about in John's Gospel, chapter 3. Now, the good news is, the good aspect of the gospel is, hey, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That, my dear friends, is good news. When you think about how lost we are, how separated we are, how sentenced to death we are, apart from Christ and apart from salvation, when you hear that God so loved everyone in the world that He did something, He sent His only begotten Son into this world to take upon Himself human flesh, to live a perfect life, to die on a cross, to be crucified, to die, to be buried, and rise from the dead. That is good news. And not only that, but God accepted Christ's death as payment for our sins. And through His shed blood, lost people can be saved from eternal wrath. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ offers hope for the future and a sense of purpose by providing a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The gospel message can lead to personal transformation, and that's what happens. When a person is gloriously saved, they are changed. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man, any person be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I think about my own life, and I think about the kind of person I was before I was saved. This past week, I had the privilege of spending about an hour with contemporary artist Ben Fuller. And I got really interested in him after I met him. And so yesterday, I went online and I listened to his testimony. And his testimony is much like mine. And God brought him a long way and transformed his life and took him out of sin and has put him into the ministry just like He did me. And so I'm here to tell everyone that is here this morning and anyone that will watch or may be watching right now, if Jesus Christ can change me, He can change you. If He can change the Apostle Paul, He can change you. If He can change Ben Fuller, He can change you. There are people in this sanctuary this morning who have been radically changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit of God, and they will testify to that, that Jesus has made a difference in their life. So when we talk about the gospel message, it gives hope. Therefore, people cannot be saved apart from hearing the gospel message, and people cannot have faith apart from hearing the gospel and hearing the word of God. For Paul goes on to say in verse 17 of this text, he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the world cannot hear. Listen at this now. This is where we're getting down to the nitty-gritty and where it really needs to be applied to our lives, because the world cannot hear the gospel unless someone shares the gospel. Did you hear me? The world, the unsaved people of the world, cannot hear the gospel unless someone shares the gospel. The gospel must be communicated in order for it to be effective, whether it be in written form, through the word of God or a tract, or whether it be verbally. But whatever, someone took the time to write the tract, someone took the time to plant the tract in a lost person's hand, the gospel has to be presented before anyone will know why they need to be saved. So the world cannot hear the gospel unless someone shares it. And that brings me to the second thing that is essential for witnessing. And we've said, number one, the gospel message is essential for witnessing. Number two, the gospel messenger is essential for witnessing. Look at Romans 10 now, verses 13 through 15. And here, let me give you a little background of this text. I love this chapter because Paul begins this chapter in verse 1 by saying, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul has a deep burden on his soul for the Jews who are lost. And he goes on to describe how they're ignorant of God's righteousness, going about trying to establish their own righteousness by keeping the law. And he says they're ignorant of God's true righteousness, which comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to describe that, and he gets down to verse 9, and he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now listen at this, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. And then in verse 13, Paul says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So get this. Listen to this verse. For whosoever, that means anyone in any generation, for whosoever shall call, that is pray to God, and ask God for salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not if, but shall be saved. That is a promise of Almighty God. Now, it's interesting that when you get to verse 14, Paul shifts gears here, and he does something interesting to me, and that is he reverses the order of what happens when someone comes to salvation. He says, first of all, in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he begins with these questions, and listen, here they are. Listen at them carefully. He says then, how then shall they, the lost, call on him, Christ, whom they, the lost, have not believed? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how in the world can they call on someone in whom they do not believe? Well, they can't. He goes on the next question. He says, how can they believe in him of whom they have never heard? Well, the truth is, they can't. They can't. You hear testimonies of people, even in America today, who have never heard the name of Jesus, except in a curse word. Some of them have never heard it at all. So there are people in our world today who do not know about Jesus. And even many who think they know about Jesus don't really know Jesus. They know about him, but they don't know him. They don't have a relationship with him. And so Paul says, how can they believe in him of whom they have never heard? Well, the answer is they can't. They can't believe in someone they've never heard. They can't believe in someone that if they've never heard, they can't believe in. And then he says a third question, how shall they, the lost, hear without a preacher? Are you following what's going on here? He says, how then can the lost hear, and how can they believe without hearing? How can they do that? They must have someone, a preacher, to share the good news. Now listen to what he says in the text. How shall they, the lost, hear without a preacher? Now for someone to hear the gospel, another must communicate it. Hearing a message requires a messenger. And so note the term preacher here, the word preacher. You say, oh, okay, that moves me out. I'm not a preacher. Well, hold on. Just hold on, because this word refers to any believer. This word in the Greek language refers to any believer who testifies for the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a preacher is to be a herald who proclaims, and it is not limited to delivering sermons from a pulpit like I'm doing this morning. It is people going about, people like you and me who know Jesus Christ, going about heralding the gospel, the good news, telling others, lost people, about Jesus Christ. As Bible Knowledge Commentary states, and I quote, carrying God's gracious offer involves human beings whom God has drawn to himself and then uses as his heralds. They share God's message of salvation because he will save anyone who calls on him. Again, Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he issues another question. Listen to this. He says, how shall they preach except they be sent? Except they be sent. God calls and sends preachers and witnesses. God commissions, he qualifies, he instructs people to proclaim his message. And it means all of us. Just because God called me to be a pastor doesn't make me any different than you are. Because God has called you to be a witness. You too are to be heralds of the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as I am. You cannot shirk your responsibility, nor can I or should we shirk our responsibility. It has been given to each and every one of us. But he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? Jesus said in John 15, 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And then in John 20, 21, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Paul stated in 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I want you to notice that word enabled. Now, this is another reason, when this is a whole new sermon, But this is one reason why a lot of people like you that are sitting on the pew this morning do not witness for Jesus. Because you think you can't. That you're not equipped. That you're not empowered. But I will remind you that Jesus told his disciples, and again in Acts chapter 1, before he ascended back to the Father, he said, I'm going to empower you. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and then you will be witnesses unto me. Well, when you were saved, when you and I were saved, we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. We received the same Holy Spirit. We received the same power from the same Holy Spirit that those New Testament apostles received. The same Spirit, the same power. That means that there is absolutely no excuse for any one of us, including this preacher, not to witness for Jesus Christ. God has equipped you. He has equipped me. If we have the Spirit of God living on the inside, God has given us all that we need, that and the written Word of God, to go out and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. There's no excuse. None whatsoever. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for those of us who are saved, listen, we won't be able to make an excuse as to why we didn't witness for Him. You know, you've heard this old expression. You've heard it from preachers from many years ago. You know, talk about they've never seen a hearse pulling a car with a bunch of belongings the person who died had to take it with them when they go. Do you know there's not but one thing that you and I can take to heaven when we go? You know what that is? Souls. Souls. I wonder how many unsaved souls we encounter every day. We walk by them in the workplace, at the grocery store, wherever we may be. We walk by them and we pay them no attention. Do you ever just walk down, you know, just ever out somewhere and you're walking along, maybe Walmart or the grocery store, and you're passing people and you wonder, is that person saved? I wonder if that person's saved. When I watch, I'm not a sports fan. My wife, she loves it. I've just had to turn the TV over her during. I'm serious. I'm literally serious. And I don't mind doing that. But when I see a huge football stadium that has probably 80 to 100,000 people in that stadium, you know what my thought is? I get to thinking about eternity, and I think, Lord, how many of those people are not saved? I get to thinking about what it would be to have the opportunity to preach in a stadium like that filled with 80 to 90 to 100,000 people and share the gospel with them. Oh, I know all of them wouldn't be saved, but there may be a few. God gives us platforms and He gives us opportunities in various places in life. And He does that because He loves all people and He wants them saved. And it's only by the grace of God that you and I heard the gospel and that we are saved. Paul stated in 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, empowered me, equipped me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You see, God calls pastors and evangelists and Christian believers to go forth and proclaim the gospel. That means all believers in Jesus Christ. For example, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, that is to His disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In Mark 16, 15, Jesus said unto them, go ye into the world and preach to every creature. Preach to every creature. And then when we come to verse 15 of this text, He says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Paul quoted from Isaiah 52:7 here concerning the eagerness of those who proclaim the good news. Those who profess it, he says, have beautiful feet. Those who profess the gospel, who proclaim the gospel, they have beautiful feet. And as one commentator stated, and I quote, the feet of the preacher and witness are beautiful. That is, they are a welcome sight to the world. The world desperately needs the message of peace and glad tidings of good things, end of quote. So in conclusion, I want to say that as witnesses, when we go out and we witness for Jesus Christ, we must have this in our heart and our minds that not everyone that hears the gospel will welcome the gospel. Paul goes on to say in this very text in verse 18, he says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. He's talking about how God had presented the message through Moses, and yet the Jewish people were not listening. And God was saying, I'm going to turn this over to someone else, referring to you and me, the Gentiles. But Isaiah said, too, is very bold, saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me, referring again to the Gentiles. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands on a disobedient and gainsaying people. God just kept on giving the message and kept on giving the message, and the Jewish people kept on rejecting and rejecting and rejecting. You see, we can't depend on everyone. We can depend on God. We can't depend on everyone to receive the gospel. But the fact that many will not receive the message must not, should not, cannot deter or defeat us. We must be willing to continue proclaiming the word at every opportunity as we go through life. Every opportunity. I ask you today in closing, will you go for Jesus? Will you? This is a serious question. I'm asking this question to every one of you who are here today. Will you be willing to go for Jesus? Go as His witness to testify of who He is in your life and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what that takes? One thing. Well, two things. Surrender and willingness. Full surrender to the Lord and what His will and word is for your life, and a willingness to go. You would be surprised what God would do with your life. I thought about this text, and I'm going to close with it. Very familiar text in Isaiah chapter 6. I want you to listen to this, beginning in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. This is Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah, he says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me. This is Isaiah now, after he's seeing God high and lifted up. He says, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, listen now, this was the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who will go out and tell the nations, tell the people about salvation? And Isaiah responded by saying, "This said I, here am I. Send me. Send me." Could there be someone here this morning that God is dealing in your heart and you know God is putting pressure on you? He's convicting you. He's putting a burden on your heart and your soul to be a witness for Jesus. Would you be willing to say, as Isaiah said, right here in this service this morning, "Here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll go. I'll witness. I will do my part until Jesus comes or you call me home." Would you be willing, anyone here, would you be willing to say yes to Jesus? You may be here today lost as a goose. You don't know, you don't have a clue about all this thing called witnessing. You don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Him. You may be watching via live stream this morning, or maybe later on after this service is broadcast, and you're that way. You don't know Christ. You don't have a personal relationship with Him. I want to invite you to salvation. I want to invite anyone here today to salvation to come to Jesus before it's too late. There will come a time when you can't come. There will come a time when you can't repent. There'll come a time when God's grace will no longer be extended. There'll come a time when God's love will no longer be extended. There will come a time when you will not be able to hear the gospel and be saved. You could be taken out just like that in a matter of seconds. Not have another opportunity in your life to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Folks, let's don't throw our lives away. We are here for a purpose, only for a short while. We are sojourners in this life, the Bible says. We have a home awaiting us in heaven, and we have a Savior whom we will stand before one day and give an account of everything we've said and done and thought, every motive that we've had. We will give an account of that at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Jesus.